Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And we've got Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
Along with Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
Still waiting on that miracle, Tom. Yeah. We're praying for you. We're pretty much done with Christmas. If, you know, in certain circles,
yes.
Christmas goes until February 2nd, Candlemas, right?
Yes.
In the old calendar, but I partake of the old calendar when we get lazy and don't take down our Christmas decorations.
Yes.
You know, it's like, well, no, it's February 2nd.
It's hard to find eggnog that has an expiration date on February 2nd or later, but, you know, you can take the risk.
Well, that's what the alcohol does. It makes it consumable. All that, I'm kidding about all that stuff. And trust me, I'm not really the one that takes down the decorations. I'm always lazy, right? My wife is very, very good about, and very beautiful decorator in our home. And we usually get our decorations down, you know, sometime after the Christmas season's over. But we love Christmas in our house. And one of the interesting things about what we're going to talk about today is, you know, it starts with the Feast of the Holy Family, which I think around the 1960s was moved into the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. And makes it part of the Christmas story, because it really is. And because we always hear about Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in the family context, as we as God reveals the Christmas mysteries to us in that season. So it's at home there. Now, one thing I didn't know was that we celebrate the Holy Family not just on the Feast of the Holy Family, which usually falls on the Sunday between Christmas and Epiphany. And so that Sunday in there is the Feast of the Holy Family. The only exception to that is when the Christmas falls on a Sunday, then the Feast of the Holy Family is December 30th, right before the Mother of God. But all that said, I just assumed the Feast of the Holy Family was, we just celebrated family and whatever, and then that was kind of done. But we really celebrate, like a lot of the Christian feasts, there's a month-long focus mm-hmm. of the Holy Family for all of this month. And so it's like, well, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize this. They will assume that, you know, it's only June, for example, that has a special, everyone knows Sacred Heart of Jesus is June, right? But a lot of people might not know that August is the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You know, July is the Precious Blood of our Lord. October is the Rosary. November is the Holy Souls. All these different months have a traditional devotion associated with it, and the traditional devotion for January is the Holy Family.
The Holy Family, and what a great way to sort of dive into the beginning of this new Jubilee year that we're in, 2025, and because everyone's always looking for a New Year's resolution. What am I going to do different this year, and how am I going to change my life? It's like, well, a great way to start is to create some new traditions. By revisiting older traditions in your own family. You know, one of the things that we've started doing as a family in our family is, I'll say resurrecting, but we've always tried to do it because we're one of those weird homeschool families. We have 9 kids and the big school bus we drive around. Not anymore. Most of them have gone their way. But the thing is, we'd eat dinner as a family as much as we possibly could. And then after most of the kids, all but 2 have left the house, and even those 2 are both over 18, you know, and they kind of got their own lives going, and they're in that transition of me kicking them out and best calling them back home. But they're getting more and more independent. We still on Sunday nights have a family dinner where it's just an ongoing thing. It's going to happen every Sunday. And the kids all know that they're invited, mm-hmm. them and whoever they're hanging out with, a friend or two, or if they're married, you know, and we still have 7 kids in town. And so it's like, come to Sunday dinner. And so if you don't do that and you're thinking like, I wish we had Sunday dinners. I wish that like everyone would get together for one meal a week, you know. And if you're not doing that, maybe start with one a month and say, hey, the first Sunday of every month, we're going to have a Sunday dinner at the house. Mm-hmm. And then just, doesn't have to be fancy, but go ahead and buy the pot roast, you know. Go ahead and, you know, spend a little money and make a little family, that a meal that people want to come together and go like, hey, and then sit around and just be family. We'll play. We'll have games, or we'll just, sometimes it's eat and run. Usually not. People want to sit around. Sometimes we'll watch football. Sometimes whatever. We'll just be together as a family. And if you're not doing that and you're thinking like, man, I'd like to do that. Well, now's the time to start. Because it is the month of the Holy Family, the devotion to the Holy Family. And I suppose what I do want to do is really talk about why we think here at the Catholic Cafe that the Holy Family is important, right? Because I think that the Church celebrates the Holy Family, or God reveals to us just the model of the Holy Family, not just because we're supposed to be talking about, well, it's important to them, right? It was important to the context for there to be a family, you know, and this is all about Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. It is. But Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the Holy Family, are meant for us.
Right. I mean, we have both the Church Universal and the Church Domestic. And the Church Domestic basically begins with the Holy Family. They set forth the model of what the Church Domestic is supposed to be. St. Joseph's role as guardian of the Church and protector of the Church comes from the place that he's the patriarch of the Holy Family. And therefore, he's the guardian of the Church Domestic, which has within it... And within the context of the Holy Family, our Lord and our Blessed Mother, right? But I mean, at the end of the day, all human beings are going to be born, right, of the natural processes of procreation, and God desires for that to occur in a supernatural way. And within this context of a supernatural bond of husband and wife, and for there also to be a family that grows supernaturally as a communion of persons reflecting the love of God. And so this is something that's very important to God. And so from the beginning of his plan, he was going to, you know, bless us with the new Eve to welcome Jesus into to take on flesh within her womb by her fiat.
To be the new Adam.
Right. Well, I mean, the new Adam is Jesus. Yeah.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, they also wanted to have that occur within the context of a family. And this is why we have Saint Joseph. He wasn't immaculately conceived in the way that our Blessed Mother was, but he was still prepared for this role in a supernatural way. And I mean, if we just kind of step back for a second and think, okay, so you're God, put yourself in God's shoes the best that we can, and you're going to love into existence the family in which you were born, right? You're going to create the perfect family, right? And you're not doing it for yourself. You're creating the perfect family for us to have a model of our salvation. Everything that Jesus did was to give us a model of our salvation, right? And the model of our salvation includes a healthy, holy family. And so that's why he gave us this model. I mean, he came in to take on sin, on the sin of this world, but that didn't begin with him being born into a dysfunctional family. Yet he made the choice to be born into the model that human beings need, really, to flourish in accordance with their created purpose. And so we need to look very closely at the Holy Family to understand the model of salvation, because if there was any other greater way for God, for Jesus to give glory to God and give us a model for our salvation, he would have done it. He would have done it. He chose to come to us in this way, through our Blessed Mother and through St. Joseph.
Which ultimately makes Jesus more approachable by us, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the key differences between Christianity and some of the religions of the world that see this God as a distant God. But really, Jesus dwelt among us, right? The Word took on flesh and dwelt among us as us, right? And then took on our sin and reconciled us to God. And this is all done in this familial context. And it's important, as you kind of pointed out there, the creating the perfect family and how God did that, it's to me, it's always, if you look at the, like, what are the origins of the Holy Family? God didn't create the Holy Family in a vacuum. Like, he created a very approachable family that we can all aspire to be or be inspired by.
And can be received from. I mean, he also blessed us with a participation in the Holy Family. He wants us to have a relationship with Mary as mother and Saint Joseph as a father. And so for those of us who didn't have a healthy family experience, and we don't even maybe know what that looks like or feels like, we can begin anew our journey into the family by receiving ourselves in the arms of the Holy Family through the intercession of our Blessed Mother.
Yeah, if you don't have a family, you just go ahead and they'll adopt you.
Yes.
I mean, and that's perfectly fine. But what I was getting at about the origins is like, I mean, essentially the Holy Family is modeled after the Trinity.
Yes.
The original family, how God has always been and how God then does all of creation and revelation. All of the grace flows out of God in a familial context, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, the gender roles aren't identical, but it is out of family that salvation is born, and into family that salvation comes to us. And so that's why. And so then if our families are modeled after the Holy Family, it means we're also modeling our families after the Trinity, mm-hmm. right? And that greatest of Christian mysteries is essentially running through the thread that runs through all of creation. And then all of a sudden, we're participating and relating to God in a very profound way, really in the way that he intended. From the very beginning, as you said before, Sam, that this is like he's always designed us to live in the context of family. We've done shows on the fact that, you know, Joseph hearing in a dream that to receive Mary into his home, and that it was okay because God desired that Jesus be born into the context of a family. Again, in my opinion, because it makes Jesus more approachable, more relatable to us, even though he is, and he's the perfect human, you know, divine and human. And it's like, he is like, now it's like, you know, I need to be more like Jesus. And how many times have we heard the phrase Christ-like, that we need to live a Christ-like life? Well, we can expand that so that mothers and fathers live a more Marian life, or live more like Saint Joseph, and then our family,
a more familial life,
right? And our context of family be more like the Holy Family. And at the end of the day, I don't know. We can all look at our own families and go like, I kind of don't want to hold my family up as an example. Now, I'm not saying that about the Drzezinskis. I'm just saying that a lot of people, as you've mentioned before, there's a great sadness in the world that we have a lot of brokenness in the world, obviously. There's still a lot of sin in the world. And the thing is, you know, we don't have a lot of great family life going on in the world.
Yeah, people might have been listening saying, yeah, I'll get my family once a Sunday together, and we'll put on boxing gloves, we'll fight.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. You know, and we even talked before our previous holidays, the end of 2024, we even talked about, like, when you come together as a family, not, like, just try to be together as a family, you know, and not fight and whatever, and what you have to do to kind of have a great experience. And some of the bad advice people are saying, well, if you disagree, you know, in politics in your family, then just avoid them. It's like, that's the problem. Don't do that. Don't avoid your family. Because again, if salvation is born in the context of a family, that means your salvation is connected to your family. And as broken as your family is, there is the model of that perfect and holy family that we can aspire to. And so we need to work to heal the division. We need to work to heal the brokenness. We need to work to heal the wounds in our own family. And we'll just, you know, the old corporate adage, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. We start small and we do little things and just say, hey, you know, I know we haven't done this in a while, but let's just get together and we're gonna get together and eat. That's all we're going to do. We're going to, you know, and then endeavor not to talk about politics if that's what separates you. Endeavor not to argue about football teams or I don't know what it is that separates you. But there are going to be wounds in families that have caused you not to be together. Well, that's Satan at work. The thing that Satan wants is because
the vision.
Yes, he knows that he can't defeat God. He knows that. He's already lost that battle. But the only thing he can do, as I've always said, is he thinks he can wound God by taking away individual souls, mm-hmm. by leading those individual souls down a dark path and pulling them away from God. And God doesn't desire that, and he gives us free will. Satan is actively working to destroy families. All of the attacks in the world today, you know, gender, family relations, lack of marriage, you know, things falling out of favor, sexual promiscuity, all the different things, they're all pointed at the family.
And Our Lady of Fatima said that was going to happen, right? Yeah. I mean, Our Lady of Fatima said that would be that last battleground. And so if we were having, regardless of whether we have a great family life or whether we have a difficult family life, we need to fight to the best of our ability to make things better.
We need to have a family life. Yes. Right? You don't. And at the very least, I know that there are also people listening who have had some really, really difficult times. And I know that just from the emails and stuff we get, there are people that are really struggling that don't have any connection to any family. People who've been in the throes of addiction or who've been in prison, who have basically, maybe of their own volition or someone else in the family, have destroyed their family. And it's really irreparable. But I'm telling you, at the very, very least, you have this holy family that you can be adopted into, or realize that you've already been adopted, mm-hmm. that you are already, as a Christian, you are already an adoptive brother or sister to Jesus, and God is your father. And you know, you can be part of the holy family in that way, and we'll just start there and see what happens. Right, see what God has planned for you. But understanding that there needs to be this role model in the world, and that we as Christians, even the typical Catholic family, you know, all the things that used to typify Catholic families, lots of kids, go to church every Sunday and every holy day, keep up with all the devotions and praying rosaries at night and things like that. There are things that have fallen out of favor even for Catholics, right? And there are people that struggle with getting to Mass. You know, whenever I have folks that I'll just say counseling, but when people come to me and they're talking about they've got issues or the problems and they're dealing with stuff, and I'll eventually, not like I'm trying to, put them in a list and start checking off all the things they have wrong, but I do will ask them certain things like, well, so how often do you go to Mass? Just estimate. Their answer is always interesting because it's always the same. Is there some variation of this sentence? Well, I'm not going as often as I should, mm-hmm. right? That's their way of telling me, look, I don't want to tell you because it's really low, and also you're probably tired of hearing that. And I want you to know that I realize that I need to change that. And I don't ever comment on that and say like, well, you need to get to be better about that. It's not an admonition. But I will talk eventually, once I get that little data point in my head, I will be able to talk to them about, like, there are things that you can do. There are simple things you can do. As complex as your life may be, you can get to Mass. By yourself. Go by yourself. Just go and sit in the back row and just sit back there. Maybe you're not in a state where you can receive Holy Communion, but you can receive a spiritual communion with that community. You can listen to the words and bathe in the grace of God in the spoken written word of Scripture, and then also just revel in the beauty of a Mass, and then start to pray for conversion. I mean, there are things that you can do no matter how bad things are. And then if you're just sort of that moderate Catholic, you know, that just kind of we're just doing our thing. I don't think we're special. I don't think we do a lot. And, you know, yeah, every once in a while we miss Mass, but we mostly don't. We mostly go every Sunday, and we try to go on every holy day of obligation. But, you know, step it up. I mean, there are little simple things that you can do as a family, and using the Holy Family. Because here's the thing. If you avail yourself of grace, if you put yourself in the context of grace, right, if you go to confession and you're in a state of grace, all of a sudden good things start happening around you and to you. And then it's easier to stay in grace once you start in grace, right? And that's a big challenge for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think, I am too far gone. our family's too far gone, right? I've been divorced three times. My kids don't talk to me, or I don't talk to my parents, or whatever. And we paint these pictures of the, well, Jesus can't save me, mm-hmm. right? We don't necessarily say it that way, but we want to let everyone know, like, man, I'm so messed up. God's going to have to work overtime or something. There's going to have to be an eighth day of creation just for me because I'm like, I'm so bad. Mm-hmm. And I guess I say it that way because I just know there's a lot of people, just by evidence of the world and the worldliness and the destruction of the human family as a basic building block of society, even if you don't believe in God, you know, all those anthropologists and people who study this stuff all say, oh, no, you need families. You need families. And if you don't have families, your society is in trouble, right? Look at the Roman Empire, and I know there's lots of reasons why the Roman Empire fell. But once you start losing a grip of the traditional, you know, when a boy really loves a girl and a girl really loves a boy and they get married and they have a baby, when you lose that, you start to lose a connection to, like, the very basic building blocks of salvation that God, from the very beginning, ordained, right? The crown of his creation was man, and he made Adam, and then he made Eve out of Adam and made them to be together. I mean, this was part of his plan of original creation, right? In the 7 days, in the context, on the sixth day, Adam and Eve got married, right? Here's your wife. This is how I want this to, you know, now be fruitful and multiply. This is what I want. This is how I've designed it to work. And then we look at the world today and it's like, we're not doing it that way.
Well, and also the other thing to point out is, you know, we did an episode on simplicity, is our Christmas episode, and moving from, like, how complicated we can make life to simplicity. And if we look at the Holy Family, we see simplicity in their life. And a lot of us have gotten caught up, you know, for a lot of us, if you ask them, what is the American dream? It'll be some version of keeping up with the Joneses, right? It'll be needing this kind of house, this kind of job, this kind of money. And you know what? That stuff's out of your control. You might have it. You might have it. You might not. But guess what? Even if you do have it, if you're getting caught up in cares about things that you still don't have, you're never going to have enough of what you don't need.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At some point, we just have to say, stop. And at some point, we just have to just say, I want to go and focus on receiving, surrendering and receiving that which God has blessed me with gratitude. And if that requires me to simplify things, to stop putting stuff on credit cards and things like that, and to exercise leadership within the context of the family for those of us who are mothers and fathers and say, hey, guys, we need to simplify things a little bit and get down to the basics. Well, if we could look at the example of the Holy Family, which is the picture of perfect joy and peace and goodness, if we want to tap into that, we're not going to be tapping into it by getting more stuff, right? We're going to tap into that by letting go of all the stuff that's clogging up our hearts and clogging up our minds and just interfering with our ability to just focus on receiving grace and sharing God's grace within the context of the family and outside the family for the glory of God.
Yeah, it's the old KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Keep it stupid, simple. Stupid, whatever. I'm stupid. But the point is, keep it simple. Mm-hmm. That's all we have to do is try to keep that simple. And that's where, I think that's where the rubber hits the road, or that's the connecting point. That's the very heart of what it is to be human, is to be in the context of family, to be modeled after the Holy Family, to be modeled after the Trinity. Essentially, you're closest to God when you are simply mom and dad and kid or kids, mm-hmm. right? And when we live, and then everyone taking those roles. And there's definitely transitions where the kids will become mom and dad. But the thing is, at the end of the day, that's what's meant to happen, right? This is how things go on and on and on. And so there's a lot of things we can do, you know. So this year, this Jubilee year, find something to do regarding family. Bring your family back together. Revel in your family. And then when you're doing that, you're reveling in the Holy Family and reveling essentially in Creator God, in the way that the Trinity is in everything. And you'll know God better in that way by knowing your family better. So mothers, you know, ponder more. Keep things close in your heart, your kids especially. You know, act in Christian service like Mary visiting Elizabeth. You know, celebrate purity, chastity, you know, and beauty. You lead everyone that you know to Jesus. Right? Do whatever he tells you, right? Act like Mary. Do the best you can to be like Mary, right? Fathers, be silent, be strong. You know, be the terror of demons. Obedient to God, but also protect your family, right? And kids, be obedient to your parents. You know, honor your father and mother. And, you know, be holy. And prepare yourself to be parents. And when we do these things, if this is what we focus on, all the world's problems, all of the election stuff, the politics, all of the racism and the bigotry, all of the violence, all of the religious wars, all the territorial battles and struggles, all the almighty chasing after the almighty dollar, all that stuff takes like this back seat to what God has always intended, and that is for him to be present there in your heart in the context of your family. And for you to live and live in the peace of your family. And so that's what we need to work towards. And I think that's something that's attainable. And like I said, don't try to change everything all at once. Focus on the things that you can do right now that are within your power. And just rely on God, on God's strength, and on God's power to heal your family. And let's ask the Blessed Mother to be with us in this process. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.